All right, fine. I'll be a gracious host. How you doing?
Little Mermaid is the scariest Disney movie by far, though.
Why the hell is Ace Blade in your Kickstarter?
Some comics. I'm getting controversial today. We're going to get controversial today with...
My proudest moment is this interview and being able to talk to you two.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Taurus Comics, in collaboration with Fourth Wall Productions, respectfully brings to you the 93rd episode of the Four Tales podcast. I am your host, Kyron Danny from Taurus Comics. Across the way is a heliotrope essayist of Ace Blade, Danny Kyron, and together we're your two award-winning Blurred comic creators here to help you find your next favorite comic. We are live on the Age of Geekdom Network via Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and also TikTok. So if you're listening or watching us live, thank you for your support. But don't forget to like, subscribe, share, review this podcast, because all your positive reviews and interactions help us reach a bigger audience. Danny J. Quick, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Danny Kyron. How are you?
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Danny Kyron.
Oh, I'm Danny Kyron. Oh, yeah. I'm Danny Kyron. You're Kyron Danny. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Danny Kyron, Kyron Danny. We good.
Terrible.
What, man? What's new with you?
Nothing much, man. I don't know if I told people this, but we had to shut down our escape room for a little while. We got some things that we're working on for the.
Did too many people escape? Is that why you had to shut it down?
No. We needed the, you know, in the escape room I had the Ace Blade mannequin in there. Right, uh-huh. With the Ace Blade costume and everything. But we needed the costume for something. I can't say what yet, but we needed the costume, so we had to take Ace Blade out. And so we had to shut down the escape room until we can get him back in there. That's all I can say.
So I'm going to just throw it out there, because I've seen your social media posts, and I saw Lady Ace Blade out there. Not Ace Blade Jr., Lady Ace Blade, if you actually look at the posts. Yes. So I'm assuming it's related to that.
Yeah, it's definitely related to that. But, you know, we got some things planned. You know, we got a Kickstarter coming up. Mm-hmm. So, you know me, I like to do some extra things for Kickstarter. So mm-hmm. hopefully it works out.
Okay, did you want to just real quickly tell us anything about the Kickstarter? You know, things that people can look forward to, when it's going to launch?
Yes. Ace Blade number 7. Okay. It's done. This is the first time I've had a book fully completed before we've done a Kickstarter. So we're doing things a little differently this time. But
and it's all because of the people on TikTok primarily.
Primarily, yes. No. We've been doing okay. So, you know, we actually are ahead of the curve this time. Okay. And I just think it's going to be cool. You know, we got some pretty cool stuff, but we're not trying to be super outlandish about it. We're going to launch it and try to get as much support as we can, and then make it work. So I ain't trying to go too deep into the bag of tricks, but we'll see. What about you, man? What you been up to?
I've just been drawing, honestly.
Any more TV appearances, anything like that?
No new TV appearances. But I will be at a wrestling show in like 2 weeks.
Wrestling?
Yeah, wrestling. You know,
Are you going to be wrestling?
I am not going to be wrestling. I'm going to be vendoring at the show.
Okay, that's
but the show sense. Is the promotion that I used to wrestle for.
Oh, okay. So
if they want me to get back in the ring, I will. It's been like 20 years, but
yeah, come on, get in there and slap somebody around, or get slapped around.
But I'm all squishy now. It's I don't like pain. You know,
it's just more padding. It is.
It's a lot of padding. It's too much padding at this point. I need to work out better. I need to work out more is what I need to do. But, sure. You know, outside of that, just I've been drawing I Drive for Cerber Part 2. Some of you mm-hmm. that are on TikTok, you might have seen me do that. I'm going to try to do that live more often. Javon Stokes, morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
But yeah, outside of that, just drawing, take care of the family, and reading comics. I've been reading comics. Like, I read. I read this amazing preview of a comic called Samson just the other day.
I read one too. I read that same comic. It was quite spectacular.
Quite spectacular. All right. Well, I mean, I feel like we should introduce our guest today because he's the writer of Samson, the creator of this amazing book, along with other books, you know, Sharkivore and you know, it's the amazing Ben Lacey that's with us today. How's it going, Ben?
Very good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, we could put out a call and people said they wanted to join us and you gave us this premise of this amazing book called Samson. I was like, I gotta hear what this is about. So for anybody that doesn't know you, can you give us a brief overview as far as who you are and what you do?
Yeah, my name is Ben Lacey. I am an engineer by trade, but a comic creator by desire. I've been in this for 3 or 4 years now. I started with my comic book, Sharkivore, which the first 6 issues are out now, and the 7th will be on Kickstarter in a month or so. And the first 5 issues I drew myself, but now I've been having other artists do the art for me. And so in addition to Sharkivore, I've spun off into a couple of other books, including Samson, which is my first superhero effort. And I'm really excited about it because I think it's, you know, it's both unique and still fits into a traditional superhero comic idea.
That's awesome. Now, I did read Samson. I did read Sharkivore. I read was it Vixens?
Vicious Vixens.
That's but one thing I noticed though with Vicious Vixens is that Sharkivore leaked into that one. So will we see your other books leak into Samson in the future too?
Not Samson's kind of in a self-contained, the Sharkivore universe, which also has the Vicious Vixens and the Cthulhu Man, which is another one of my books, are kind of a more, I don't want to say realistic universe, but more like our own world, where there's not a lot of incredible super beings and things like that. You know, you've got the shark who's a cyborg. You've got, you know, some other efforts to make, you know, monsters by this woman who's trying to modify human DNA and merge it with different creatures to give them special powers. But otherwise, there's not a lot of super beings in that. Samson's world is a little more like early Marvel. There's not like a zillion super beings like there is in the current Marvel and DC universe, but you know, if you go back to like the early 70s, late 60s, you know, and you have like 3 or 4 superhero teams and maybe a few dozen superheroes at most. That's kind of the world he inhabits, you know, at this point. And when the story starts out, you know, it's in World War II when, you know, the superhero beings are just starting to come into existence. And similar to like, you know, early Marvel, some of it's inspired by government efforts to make their own super soldiers, you know, Captain America obviously was based on a U.S. effort to make a super soldier. Samson is based on a Nazi effort to make a super soldier that fortunately doesn't go completely right for them. Right. So, you know, because they're experimenting on Jewish children in the concentration camps. But it's kind of similar to that in that, you know, when the story's first taken off in World War II, there's hardly any super beings. Later on, when the book picks up later, because it covers a fairly significant period of time, you know, it's a more developed superhero universe. But it's not like current Marvel where it's like overflowing, which I really, you know, one of the things I don't like about the current Marvel and DC universes is they almost have too many super beings in them, and it kind of makes it not, you know, hard to believe the stakes and hard to believe it's you know, it's unique.
I get that, and I definitely saw the similarity, especially with Captain America, when I was reading it over. I'm gonna pull up your Kickstarter right now, which is where Samson is at. So it looks like you have like 12 days to go.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. That's why I'm glad to be doing these podcasts.
Now, definitely amazing artwork on this. Who's the artist on this? I can't remember the name.
Jonabas Cranio.
That's right. See, that's why I knew I couldn't pronounce it properly.
Anton
Polkovsky. Yeah, he's actually a Ukrainian artist who, interestingly enough, I came into contact when Russia first invaded Ukraine because he was on Facebook, you know, asking for work because he needed money due to the invasion situation. Oh, and wow. I hired him to do a print of for the Shark of War back then, and then since then I've used him on as colorist on various books.
Okay.
Awesome. That's awesome. So what I want to know, so I've seen your other books, the Shark of War book, right? Mm-hmm. I think you got 6 issues of the Shark of War.
Yeah, right? 7th's coming out soon.
Right. What are the challenges? I know for me, you know, we're on the 7th issue of Ace Blade right now, and launching another series would be like a huge like task. We just did, you know, Battle of the Black Rose. You know, that's separate from the things that I've been doing before. So it was harder for me to promote those things. Is it harder to shift into, you know, a new property or into introduce a new property when you've been, especially when it's something so different, you know, something so different than what you were doing before?
I think it's hard in terms of the audience I've built. You know, the Vicious Vixens and Shark of the last issue of Shark of War were about twice as far ahead on Kickstarter at the same time point as this book is. So a lot of my audience is, you know, expecting a certain kind of book for me, that kind of sci-fi, you know, a little over the top, whereas this is more of a serious, grounded, you know, superhero story, kind of in that Ed Brubaker kind of Captain America tradition. So I'm not sure all my readers are as interested in that. So that's why you have to go further afield. But it's been a passion project of mine for, you know, wanting to do it for a number of years. And when I had my last issues, a couple of issues, I thought, you know, maybe I have enough people that I can actually get this made and see how it goes. And so it's been a little tough, but, you know, I'm still hopeful that it'll get there.
Yeah, I think it's at least worth it. I mean, we get kind of pigeonholed. I mean, especially as indie creators, we don't necessarily get the opportunity to write and make a lot of different types of things. So I think it's good to kind of stretch out into other genres, especially if you have a passion to do those other things. I love it. But I do know it's difficult to, you know, when you've been building an audience, you've been building a, you know, an audience around one thing, you've been building this fandom around something like the Shark of War, where there's a shark with these, you know, I like the way you described it, RoboCop, but if RoboCop was a shark, and then going to something, you know, kind of, you know, different from that, there's a whole different audience for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the people you would expect the people that like your one thing to check out your other thing, but it doesn't always happen like that.
So, that's why I've got that free. You can read the first, you know, 8 pages of the book and a bunch of the other art, you know, for free. There's not even a sign up. You just click on that and it should open up the window with the comic book. So I'm hoping that, you know, that people look at that and like it and, you know, enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one thing that I've noticed, I'm pretty sure anybody that's watching knows, is that there are the character is heavily influenced by your Jewish traditions or by Jewish traditions. And I've noticed that there's a couple other creators out there now. Daniel Kablan is the person I could think of.
I'm in the same group with him on a Facebook group.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I love this, that a lot, there are other Jewish creators out there now creating characters around your guys' culture. And I know a lot of times when people say, you know, representation matters, people just think of things like, you know, people of color. Right. LGBTQ, things like that. But I actually found it really cool that there's other representation, like religious representation. Is that one of the reasons why you wanted your character to be of Jewish descent, to have that out there?
Well, it's, you know, I'm Jewish. So, you know, that when I thought of, you know, was thinking of a superhero, this just kind of seemed like a logical thing. You know, if we lived in a superhero universe, of course the Nazis would try to make their own super beings, and, you know, and of course the who would they experiment on first? You know, it comes fairly, you know, it starts to fill in the blanks at that point. So I thought it was a logical thing. You know, I wasn't really going, you know, because I wanted to have more representation, though that's nice. I just thought it was a really good idea, and it did reflect my own background. You know, it's kind of, it, you know, most of the greatest comic creators are, you know, who did the classic characters were all Jewish. But, you know, none of their characters were Jewish, and, you know, unless you kind of like read between the lines maybe, but you know, even the ones that, you know, they now say are Jewish, like the Thing or Kitty Pryde, it's not really, you know, it's not really relevant to who they are. The Thing would still be the Thing, whether he was, you know, Jewish or, you know, Christian. Cause it's not, you know, they've kind of worked in some good stories with it, but it's not integral to his being, whereas, you know, Samson exists because he's a Jew and he had this stuff done to him because of the Holocaust, you know?
Yeah. I think that's great. I think when I actually went to Auschwitz when I was with the military, I was out there for...
See how he just, you know, just casually throws that out there. Oh, I was out there.
No, I mean, we were there
got
on...
Got in that veteran.
we were running a, you know, I was a combat medic, but one summer we were out there running a clinic. And just, you know, during the weekends, we got to go out and things. And one of our captains was like, "Oh, we should all go out to you know." They had this whole thing set up, and I think I was so young at the time that I didn't put two and two together until we got there. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is, you know," it was just a one of those things that absolutely impacts you. If you look into it and you start to read about it and you meet people who, mm-hmm. you know, are descendants and things like that. So I think that it's very important to tell these stories and to and even, you know, infuse them into our comic books and the fiction that we write. Even the real life things should absolutely influence, you know, the things that we create. So props to you for that.
Yeah, it was interesting that when I posted on Facebook some of the cover pictures, one of the people on Facebook suddenly shared these pictures of his great uncle at the concentration camp Bergen-Belsen. His great uncle was part of a British regiment, and they liberated the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. And, you know, he saw my thing and he started sharing pictures of his great uncle, you know, in the concentration camp, you know, when they liberated it. So that was, you know, really cool that somebody, you know, saw my stuff and was thought enough to share that with me. And I was really excited to see that.
Nice. All right. Now I do want to talk about, not just Samson, cause I want everybody to support that as much as possible, but you also other books. We also have, other great books. And I was reading over Shark of War last night, mm-hmm. and I was noticing when I got to, I think it was issue 6, like you were mentioning earlier, you were doing the artwork up to that one.
Right.
What was the reason for the change? Like,
a couple of reasons. First off, you know, my art ability is based purely around my ability to manipulate a computer. You know, I'm not doing a lot of I'm doing some hand drawing, but it's mostly using a lot of computerized models, then post-processing them and then doing some line work and adjusting the look to make it look more comic booky. But it's still, you know, very much, you know, going to be limited. You know, I thought for Shark of War, it works pretty well because it does a nice job, you know, with sharks. But once you get into people, like a lot of the digital comic books you see that use 3D models, they look very, you know, they look robotic rather than you know, it looks good for video games, I guess, but it looks less good in a static comic book. And I also, so I wanted to, you know, upgrade my art. I wanted to have it look better. And of course, the other thing is, you know, I was spending like 2 hours a night or more, you know, plus doing my day job, just trying to get, you know, the comic book drawn. And it was taking, I don't know how people do a comic book a month, but it was taking like four months for me to get the comic book ready, you know, not even doing anything else. So,
yeah.
So I knew if I wanted to, you know, keep going, I wanted to have other people do the art. And by this point, I met a bunch of people in the, you know, the different communities and stuff. So I knew where to go to look for artists, which was, you know, something I didn't know anything about before when I decided to do it myself. So I started hiring artists to do the book. So for Shark of War 6 and now 7, they're hand-drawn art, well, digitally hand-drawn artwork. Same for Cthulhu Man and, of course, the Vicious Vixens, also all hand-drawn. And with the Vicious Vixens, it would look, I think it would look terrible if I tried to do it. It wouldn't look terrible, but it would just look, you know, okay. Whereas, you know, the artist for Vicious Vixens, I think he did a really good job. You know, the women in a comic book like that have to look pretty. It's, you know, it's kind of a requirement, but, you know, and cool and tough and all that. And I thought he really did a good job with that. So from now on, for the most part, I'm having other people do the art. I'm still doing a Shark of War, you know, for Shark of War, I'll probably always still do a cover. I always do some kind of Jaws tribute cover. You can kind of see mm-hmm. one in the background here. Let me see. I'm trying to back point. Yeah. I always do something with the Jaws tribute for either the Jaws poster or the some flip on the Jaws poster, or here at the sharks, the one being attacked by a horde of piranha, or for Jaws 2 or Jaws 3D. So I'll probably do something like that for every Shark of War book, just to keep my hand in. And because some people like the Jaws covers too, I always usually get backers that, you know, get them or even get the whole set. So it kind of keeps a nice running theme for the book.
Is it safe to say that Jaws is one of your favorite movies?
No, I like Jaws, but I wouldn't call it one of my favorite movies. I actually, if I was going to say my favorite, you know, one of my favorite movies is probably more RoboCop. I always use that comparison, the Jaws meets RoboCop, like you mentioned at the beginning. And I really loved RoboCop and I like Jaws. And, you know, part of the inspiration for the Shark of War was the Meg came out. I don't know if the Meg mm-hmm. 2 just came out, so sure you know the Meg. And I was like, wow, it's doing really well. But at the end of the day, it's just another shark eating people movie, but it's mm-hmm. a bigger shark. And I was like, can we do something different here? So what if the shark were the hero of the story? So that's kind of where I went from there.
Oh, I thought that, I don't know why I wanted to think that you had put the first one out before the first Meg came out. I was going to ask you if it was if one was inspired by the other, but yeah, I guess
it was after the Meg. Originally, I thought of it as a short story, and that, you know, my original idea was a shark with a jetpack flying around. But mm-hmm. then I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know, this would make a good comic book. And I'd always wanted to do a comic book, so I was like, let me go from there. And then I saw these digital art tools and I started thinking, oh, I could probably make this myself. So that's where I kind of wound up doing it myself for that first five, actually.
Well, I mean, even still, I mean, to do five issues of artwork, and your books weren't that small of books. They were like 36, 40 pages sometimes. So that's a lot of artwork, even for you.
Yeah, it was 3D models. That's like I said, it was just really taking up every second just doing the artwork. And so, you know, for artists who are doing that, trying to crank out a book a month, I really mm-hmm. don't know how they manage it. But, you know,
we do what we can.
Jack Kirby did multiple books a month somehow.
That's crazy.
But I guess also, you know, a lot of them have, like, first they do, you know, not usually on the books I'm doing, I have the same guy do the pencils and the inks. And maybe the colors, but, you know, I guess a lot of times they have, you know, John Westhoff.
John is right. Art is hard.
Absolutely.
They usually have they have the penciler and then the inker and then the colorist. And sometimes they have a flatter too for helping the color. So they have a whole team, you know, I'm kind of limited in my budget for that, unfortunately.
Sorry.
John ought to know about that too.
We're going to have John on one these days to talk about books that he's working on, things like that.
Well, he's always got like two or three coming out at a time on Kickstarter. So
that's a full-time job in itself. Just the, you know, the promotion and marketing of a Kickstarter in itself is tough.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite and worst? What's the best and worst?
And it's not the worst. John is not the worst. Let's not put that out there.
What's the best and worst part about, like, the crowdfunding and selling of a comic book?
The worst part of the crowdfunding is the actual trying to get the backers. You're sitting there on pins and needles. Will my book fund? You know, there's some of the people, you know, who are like, you know, the Lady Death guy, and he puts his book up there and it's funded in 10 seconds. And then the only question is he going to make $300,000 or is he going to make $500,000? if I had that problem, maybe I'd enjoy it more. But mom,
you just got to make comics for the last like 35 years and you'll be good.
That probably helps. Or if I were Keanu Reeves or somebody like that, I could, you know, I could jump on in. But yeah, so the worst part is, you know, the sitting around for the month trying to get raised backers, and it doesn't happen. There's a lot of stuff on the setup of the Kickstarter. I can't say I enjoy. It's, you know, setting up all the rewards, setting up all the items, and Kickstarter seems to have made it harder lately because they want you to have an image for every item, and so it's like they're making your workload harder. When I'm like, couldn't we make it so I could replicate my last campaign to this campaign so right. I could Shark of War 7 isn't going to have that many different reward items from Shark of War 6. So if I could just pull over Shark of War 6 and start from there, it would really save me a ton of time, guys. And I'm not the only one who's complained about that. I know that. And it doesn't seem to do any good. So those are the hard parts. The fun part is obviously the creating the story, coming up with the idea, writing it, working with the artists and seeing what they do and iterating back and forth. And sometimes my vision of what I've written doesn't match what they wind up drawing. There was one page, on Cthulhu Man where there was supposed to be a woman attacked by a bunch of thugs, and the way the artist read it, he thought that the thugs were mutated shark men. And so instead of having thugs attacking, he drew up these shark men attacking her. And I was like, they're supposed to be human thugs, but I like the shark men so much. Put him in the background scene where we see one of these shark men running by. And because I thought it was such a cool little image. So it's kind of interesting to see how my words don't always match what, I'm thinking, when somebody else reads them.
Now, what can we expect in the future from Biting Comics, Samson, Shark of War, Vicious Vixen? What can we expect from you?
Well, there's going to be a Shark of War 7 coming out in November. I'm hoping Vicious Vixen's to start writing that soon and have the art maybe launch it in early next year. Then it's Shark of War will probably go, my vision of it is 12 to 15 issues for three complete story arcs, and that would kind of complete the first story, and then I'll decide, the overall story of his journey, and then I'll decide whether to do more. But in Vicious Vixens probably could also be continuing for and some more issues. Samson, obviously, if it funds, I've got visions for, at least 5 or 6 issues of it.
When it funds.
And then the Cthulhu Man, I kind of did it as a one-off. It has a sequel potential that I may consider doing at some point. He's more of a villain than the other characters. So, there's some, and it's more of a horror comic book. So I'd have to see whether I want to, to do it again, or whether I'll just have him pop up in some other book as the villain.
Okay.
I love it.
No, thank you.
I'm definitely glad we ran into these. I hadn't seen these books until we got the news that you were going to be on, and I was like, oh man, these are some good looking books, especially this preview of Samson that you sent to us. Oh, it's definitely a story that I want to follow, and that just your descriptions of these books is so good that I would. The last question I got for you before we get to quick takes. What is your process for like the pitch of these books? How do you, is that what you come up with before the story, or are you, or are you just like working at it and cutting it down to two or three sentences? That's one of the things that I know a lot of creators struggle with, me included, is how to describe your books to people. I see, like, for Shark of War, it says it's Jaws if the shark were the hero, it's RoboCop if the cop were a shark. He's an escaped U.S. military experiment who's enforcing the law as he sees fit. The first six issues are out, and the seventh will be coming later this year. Read the first issue free at BidenComics.com. That's like all you need to know. And then you see a cover, and like I saw a cover that you did where it's the shark, and then I think it was the whale. It had to be issue 6 or 7, where it was the whale with the shark with the cannons on the side, and there's this huge whale coming towards him. I was like, that's all I need to know to buy the book. So what's your process for, you know, pitching these books and getting it down so succinct to describe it to people?
Well, when I was starting to learn about how to do Kickstarter, one of the things, you know, that all comes later. I always do the story first, and then to answer the first part of your question. And then I had it grounded into my head when I was, I'm part of a couple of different comic book groups on Facebook that talk about how to do Kickstarter. And one of the things they grind into you is, you know, you've got that short little opening and you have to have a catchy blurb, kind of elevator pitch to pitch your book. And so for Shark of War, you know, there's always that saying that you can describe something using two movies. So that's kind of where the idea there came from. I was like, well, Jaws and RoboCop, that ought to make it very clear for everybody. You know, Samson was a little harder because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's, you know, the Nazis and they're creating a super soldier and it goes wrong for them. So that's kind of, you know, instead they create their greatest enemy. So I'm trying to encapsulate it in like one sharp sentence, where it's not as easy with Samson to just compare it to two movies. I have to kind of compare it to something that people know about, and, you know, people know about super soldiers and they know about Nazis. So
I love it.
Oh, thank you.
All right. I thought Kyron was about to say something, but no. I'm ready for quick takes if you are. Let's get it going.
All right.
Quick takes. All right. There'd be a quiz show down here.
There's always a quiz. No, if you haven't seen the show before, Quick Takes is a rapid fire Q&A session where I have scoured the internet. I have stalked your social medias, and I just have five questions to ask you for our viewers to get to know you a little bit better. All right. Sure. So you'll have 45 seconds to answer each question off the top of your head. And here we go. All right. First question is homage covers. I see that you do, like we talked about earlier, you have, a lot of Jaws covers. And I saw that you did like the X-Men, the X-Men number one homage covers and things like that. In your experience, what is the benefit of doing something like that? And what might be some of the cons to doing it?
The benefit is that I think a lot of people, you know, will see it and recognize that you're trying to draw in comic book fans, larger audience of comic book fans into your book, and then you're trying to get them to back. So that's a big advantage. The second advantage, of course, with variant covers is, you know, people expect to pay a little higher price, you know, so you're trying to make your funding, you know, having a couple extra covers that are more expensive for backers that are willing to back at a higher level is really important. The disadvantage, you know, of course, you know, you have to pay for the art. You know, that X-Men cover, you know, with four covers over two different comic books. So, you know, that's pretty good add-on on art. That was a quick 45 seconds.
It is. It always is quicker than I think it is. Okay, so question number two. Like I said earlier, I saw the cover of one of the covers that you did where it was the Whale of War, and I was like, that was instantly something that I knew I would want to check out. So Sharks versus whales. Which one are you going for, and why?
Well, obviously, in this book, it's going to be sharks. In the real world, it's probably the other way around. Is that the orcas kill sharks, and there's a scene in Shark of War 6 where Nasher realizes an orca's after him, and he at first is terrified because he has an instinctual fear of whales and views them as shark murderers, and so he's ready to run. And the artificial intelligence that you know works with him reminds him, yeah, you're not an ordinary shark. Of course, then it turns out the whales aren't ordinary either. But he still has an advantage because he's a smart shark, whereas the whales are being remote controlled by his nemesis, Dr. Douglas.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, it does kind of make the sharks an underdog, even though they got bazookas and weapons. It's all good. All right, question number three. We talked a little bit about your religion and how you kind of infuse that in the comics. What are some of the pros and cons of doing that too? I can, you know, especially today in today's, you know, social landscape, there's whole groups of people who would say, you know, putting your religion in comics is woke and all this other stuff. But like I said, I think that it's a good thing to remind people of the real history and things like that. So, tell me about the pros and cons of putting religion in comics.
I think that in the story, when the story requires it, or you know, when it's natural to do, I think it works very well. I know there's a lot of stuff about woke, and I think a lot of that's around changing things that were original and now they're being changed in ways some people don't like. This obviously isn't like that at all. This is the story and the character. So, the disadvantage, of course, is there's a lot of controversy around Israel right now. So when people see the Star of David, they may be, thinking things, about the politics going on in Israel that may turn them off to the book, even though that doesn't really play into the book at all. So, you're potentially limiting your audience.
I love it. Okay, so this is a question that I ask a lot of creators. This number four, I had to change it up recently because we were getting too many of the wrong answer. So I want to know, if you had the option to have one person to cosplay your characters or to have 1,000 people of various talents do fan art of your character, which one would you go with and why?
Oh, I'd rather have 1,000 fan arts. the reality is that, first off, fan art is something I can go share. If I had 1,000, people drawing Shark of War, that's a lot of stuff to share out. And it also means there's 1,000 people who might want to back my book, which is a lot of people to back your book. Yeah. So I would definitely rather have, 1,000 people do fan art. I mean, I'd rather sell, 1,000 copies of my comic at $5 than, 5 copies at $1,000 or something like that, because I want more people to see it. So I definitely choose the 1,000. Yeah, it'd be cool to see a cosplayer do one of my characters, especially if someone famous. That would obviously have some nice stuff to it. But
just I'm gonna dress up as Shark of War for Halloween.
That'll be a good one.
At cons, I have my shark hat. With the that has a shark head coming through it.
Oh, nice. They do have those like inflatable shark costumes. All you got to do is strap some guns to the side, and you got you a cosplay right there. That's
a couple of people suggested that, and I was like, I'm at a con though, and I'm trying to sell books and work, and having that kind of stuff strapped to me. There was one con where a young woman came up as a cosplayer. She was like in this inflatable shark. It had like a fan on the side. Mm-hmm. I can't see a fan on the side to pump up the air pump it up. And it was this inflatable shark. It was really cool. I was like, I should have you walk it back and forth in front of my booth for this. So you can help me bring in customers.
And then have that baby shark theme song playing in the background.
Oh God.
It's catchy.
People do that. And I kind of get in a little, I try not to get too annoyed, but I get annoyed.
Yeah, that thing was crazy for a while. All right, question number five. So I do another show called Top 5 Live, where we do a weekly top 5 list. on this show, I like to have our fifth question be a top five list for our guests. So I saw a post that you did about, I don't know if it was your or your partner who buys bulk toilet tissue. And during the pandemic, you were saying you didn't think that you would ever run out. And I want to know, what are your top five? What are the top five supplies that you should buy to survive a pandemic?
Oh, geez. Well, the TP is obviously important, but I don't know if it was important because it needed to be done or just because everybody decided they had to have TP and they went run on it. It was ridiculous. Yeah, obviously, toilet paper, coffee. Because I drink coffee, alcohol. I'm kind of a bourbon drinker, so some bourbon. I guess some canned goods because canned goods will keep forever. And then, if I was really stuck in a case where all the power went out, I guess I'd want some dried beef or something like that, or one of those MREs or something like that to keep me going.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good list. That's a solid list. Yeah, I love it. All right, Kyron.
Wait, did we lose Ben?
Maybe we. I can hear him.
He's frozen, but I can hear him.
Yeah, I'm like it's like my camera locked up.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no. We can still hear you.
I'm in frozen mode.
All right.
Probably get to use my phone for my my webcam, probably.
That's all right.
All right. Well, that was Danny's Quick Takes. This week, Quick Takes are provided by...
I have no
frozen clue. Cameras.
Frozen cameras. And Stanley bobbleheads.
No.
We're
doing frozen cameras. Okay. All right. Brad says he needs to go back and make sure he's up on all the issues of Shark of War. There is six, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So, Brad, if you don't have six, go back and go get them. I have a feeling you should be able to get them through the Kickstarter.
Yeah, they're all as add-ons to Samson or every issue is an add-on in Samson, so you can always get it there.
So check out the Kickstarter link there, Brad. Get Samson, get Vicious Vixens, get Cthulhu Man, get all the Shark of War, help support Ben. Paige is in the chat, what's going on? But this has been fun, Ben. We want to make sure that everybody checks you out. Besides your Kickstarter, we check out your work, sir. Where can people find your website, find your other books, and follow you on social media?
Yeah, I'm at bitingcomics.com is where you can sign up and get two free issues of Shark of War. The first two issues on my website. The Kickstarter, of course, is in the link there. I'm BLacey1 on Twitter, BenLacey1 on Instagram, and on Facebook, I am Shark Comics.
Oh. All right.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Shark of War, I think. Sorry. Facebook.com/Shark of War.
All right. And Danny, where can people check you out?
Oh, yeah. If you want to find me, the best place to go is our website, fourthwallpros.com. Also, if you want to find me on social media, it's at the Ace Blade on all social media platforms. Kyron, where can people find you?
People can find me at tourscomics.com. Check out all my books there. You can find me on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, at Taurus Comics, and on Facebook at Taurus Comics. Let's see, who do we have next week? Faye, good morning. Glad to have you in the chat there, ma'am. Join us next
week. It's Fee.
Is it Fee? You're right, because the feed with Fee. I don't know what's going on with me this morning.
Get your life together, Kyle.
I'm sorry, Fee.
Good morning.
That's my bad. I'm a failure. But join us next week where we are going to have artist Jay Hero with us talking about his work on independent scene and with DC Comics and others. And apparently he has a book cover variant for someone that's on the show. So we're going to talk about that. Thank you, Fia. I appreciate it. But until next time, everybody, sayonara, goodbye, and everyone, please take care of yourselves.
Thank you.
I want to know what it is Quick is trying to say.